If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time for our Thursday chat with Richard Roper. Richard, good morning. I know you are interested in talking about this new Peacock scripted drama. Do we really need another John Gacy special?
You know, that's the question, Bob. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about this because, like a lot of your listeners, I watch a lot of the true crime documentary series, and then you have the dramatizations, and they're often really well done. But when they hit close to home, sometimes you think about it. You remember there was the Jeffrey Dahmer series a couple of years ago, and the Evan Peters, who played Dahmer, he won awards. He won Golden Globes. You know, nobody ever gets a Golden Globe or an Emmy for playing a victim. It's always playing, you know, these very colorful roles. And we did hear from some of Dahmer's victims' family members saying, you know, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And with John Wayne Gacy, as you know, there have been, I think, more than 30 documentaries or dramatizations or, you know, different versions. Remember, Brian Dennehy famously played him years ago in To Catch a Killer, a CBS movie. So now Peacock's doing this prestige. It's an 8-episode series. They announced it this week. It's coming out in October. But there is a part of me that says, you know, how many times it's Manson, it's Bundy, it's Dahmer, and it's Gacy, it feels like. They just keep telling that story over and over.
So apparently there's a fascination with John Wayne Gacy beyond the Chicago area. Of course, here it really hit very close to home.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you remember this. I was in high school at the time, but, you know, it was that cold December where they started taking the bodies out. I think it was, I want to say 70, or was it 78? I think right around there.
I remember those pictures.
Then, yeah, and it was just, because it just kept happening. And, you know, it was this house in Norwood Township, and you're like, where were even all these bodies? And we found out in the crawl space, you know, in the yard. It was this horrific thing, and it had been going on for years, but because, and this happened in the case of the Dahmer murders, because a lot of these young men were maybe a little bit off the grid, in some cases runaways or looking for construction work when he had mm-hmm. to firm and stuff. So maybe not enough attention was being paid to the fact. You know, nowadays I think there would have been a lot more media somewhere in the middle of all this saying 15 young men have gone missing in this general area, but it didn't until they finally, you know, the cops tailed him and they had a lot of leads and they finally figured out that this was definitely their guy.
Didn't you write about the evidence?
Yeah, you know, this was actually, it was interesting because Gacy was executed, of course, I think it was in 94, and I spent time with the mother of one of the victims in her living room as that was happening, and it was, you know, she was so lost, but, you know, also feeling like there was some closure. But then the case reopened in some ways because there was a lot of speculation that there were other bodies buried in a parking lot nearby. So when that happened, I was able to go down to the evidence room, and of course, they kept all that evidence in case something else came up, and Bob, it was so chilling because in boxes you had IDs of victims, their jackets, the ropes he used. He had a handcuff trick. This was his thing. He'd put these boys and young men in handcuffs and say, "You want to know a magic trick?" And then he'd handcuff them and say, "The trick is you don't have the key." And that was the moment they would know that they might not see the light of day again. So just really chilling stuff.
Yeah, that makes it very real.
Real, I think, you know.
All right, so it's Devil in Disguise, John Wayne Gacy on Peacock. Let's talk about what happened at Wrigley Field recently with this podcaster who many people think desecrated Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah, you know, this very popular, call me your daddy or I'm your daddy or something podcaster. God bless you. You know, anybody that they carve away in this crazy world of ours.
It's not Alice Cooper.
It's not Alex Cooper.
Alex,
right?
Cooper. Okay.
I think she committed, you know, the cardinal Take Me Out to the Ball Game sin where she made it about herself. She played to the camera, this choreographed number, this joking voice. And I know we're not going into church, but it kind of is a cathedral for Cubs fans. And I respect that as a White Sox fan. And as you know, Bob, you've done it.
Yes.
And you know, people, and yeah, you know, to people talk about, you know, Ditka and Ozzy Osbourne and stuff, but if you engage with the fans and you show great enthusiasm and you say, let's get some runs, you've got 40,000 people on your side. It takes a lot And I was at that game, by the way, Sunday night. For Cardinals and Cubs fans alike to be unified in their booing of this horrific, self-indulgent, narcissistic performance.
Well, when, you know, like when Ditka did it, people laughed about it because we all know Mike Ditka. I think, don't you think a part of this was, who is this person?
Well, absolutely. And when Ditka did it, you know, it wasn't malicious. He raced to get up there, was out of breath. So people, I think, have misinterpreted that.
Yeah, but he had a tea time. You know, that's how he always.
That's
well,
right.
I remember the late, great Steve McMichael got thrown out of the game by Angel Hernandez. That's and I've looked it up. You can't throw someone out of the game from the just because you're the home plate umpire, but he threw him out. But, yeah, that's the thing. It's long, you know, people are so forgiving about that. And, you know, I have to point this out, you guys, as a White Sox fan. You know, this tradition did start in the mid-70s. At the old Comiskey Park with Harry Carey. There was a bunch of idiot hooligans like me just below. And Bill Veeck was the one who said, wait a minute, he's doing this with Nancy Faust during the commercial break. Let's mic him up. And then in one of the all-time faux pas, the Sox let Harry get away, right, in 82. And became this, then it became a cultural institution.
Well, don't you think the question now for the Cubs is, do you have a, shall we say, a D-list celebrity sing? Or when no one else is available, instead of that, just have the video of Harry Carey or Ron Santo or Ernie Banks on the scoreboard?
Yes, I think that's what you do. You know, I think it's great when you have like a Caleb Williams or an Angel Reese, you know, an athlete from another team comes, or someone like yourself, you're a well-known Cubs fan, but an outsider, I think, you got to ask them a quiz. Who was Glenn Beckert? And if they say he was the Secretary of Defense in the 40s under Truman,
pass a test.
You're out. You know, and you know, they used to do the thing too, where after they'd sing Take Me Out to the Ballgame, they'd join the announcers in the TV booth, and they stopped doing that because a lot of time they'd be like, well, I'm going to be at Chuckles in Elmhurst, yeah. And they're like, and by the way, Pete Crow Armstrong just laced a triple, and he's like, I laced my sneakers this morning, and it's like, you're missing this. You're missing the point.
I love what Vin Scully said. Paul Sullivan wrote about this in the Trib recently. Vin did it, and then they asked him to do it again, and he said, no, I did it once for Harry. If I did it twice, it would be doing it for me, and that wouldn't be right. Perfect.
The ultimate, the best ever, right? And the ultimate gentleman. That's the perfect response.
Oh, when I did it with Marianne. I let her carry the tune because, as you know, I'm tone deaf.
You were the captain to her tenille, basically.
Richard Roper, thank you,
sir.
Talk to you again next Thursday.